Did you think to ask about the ratio of sexes aboard ship? How many of the 36 were women?
She told me that. 3.
You might as well forget about her profession. 200 years of travel, security, adventure. Then, at the end of Halorloprilalar's 8th run, the Ringworld refused to answer the Pioneer's call. The electromagnetic cannon didn't work. As far as telescopes could determine, there was no sign of activity at any spaceport. The 5 worlds of the Pioneer's circuit were not equipped with electromagnetic cannons for braking. Therefore, the Pioneer carried braking fuel, condensed en route from interstellar hydrogen. The ship could land, but where? Not on the Ringworld. The meteor defenses would blow them apart. They had not received permission to land on the spaceport ledge. And something was wrong there. Back to one of the abandoned homeworlds? In effect, they would be starting a new colony world with 33 men and 3 women.
They were hidebound prisoners of routine, ill-equipped to make such a decision. They panicked, said Nessus. They mutinied. The Pioneer's pilot managed to lock himself in the control room long enough to land the Pioneer on the spaceport ledge. They murdered him for it, for risking the ship and their lives, says Halorloprilalar. I wonder if they did not in truth murder him for breaking tradition, for landing by rocket and without formal permission.
Louis felt eyes on him. He looked up. The spacer girl was still watching them, and Nessus was looking back at her with one head, the left. So that one held the TASP, and that was why Nessus had been looking steadily upward. She wouldn't let Nessus out of her sight, and he dared not let her off the TASP's lovely hook.
After the killing of the pilot, they left the ship, said Nessus. Then it was that they learned how badly the pilot had hurt them. The Chiltang Brone was inert, broken. They were stranded on the wrong side of a wall 1,000 miles high. I do not know the equivalent of Chiltang Brone in Interworld or the Hero's Tongue. I can only tell you what it does. What it does is crucial to us all.
Go ahead, said Louis Wu.
The Ringworld engineers had designed Failsafe. In many ways, it seemed that they had anticipated the fall of civilization, had planned for it, as if cycles of culture and barbarism were man's natural lot. The complex structure that was the Ringworld would not fail for lack of tending. The descendants of the engineers might forget how to tend airlocks and electromagnetic cannon, how to move worlds and build flying cars. Civilization might end, but the Ringworld would not. The meteor defenses, for instance, were so utterly failsafe that Halorloprilalar...
Call her Prill, Louis suggested. That Prill and her crew never considered that they might not be working. But what of the spaceport? How failsafe would it be if some idiot left both doors of the airlock open? There weren't any airlocks. Instead, there was the Chiltang Brone. This machine projected a field which caused the structure of the Ringworld floor, and hence of the rim wall, to become permeable matter. There was some resistance. While the Chiltang Brone was going...
Osmosis generator, Louis suggested.
Perhaps. I suspect that Brone is a modifier, possibly obscene.
Air would leak through, but slowly, while the osmosis generator was going. Men could push through in pressure suits, moving as against a steady wind. Machines and large masses could be drawn through by tractors.
What of pressurized breathing air? Speaker asked.
But they made that outside, with the transmuters. Yes, there was cheap transmutation on the Ringworld. It was cheap only in great quantity, and there were other limits. The machine itself was gigantic. It could make just one element into just one other element. The spaceport's 2 transmuters would turn lead into nitrogen and oxygen. Lead was easy to store and easy to move through the rim wall. The osmosis generators were a fail-safe device. When an airlock fails, a veritable hurricane of breathing air can be lost. But if the Chiltang Brone broke down, the worst that could happen would be that the airlock would be closed to space.
and incidentally to returning spacemen.
Also to us, said Speaker.
Louis said, Not so fast. It sounds like the osmosis generator is just what we need to get home. We wouldn't have to move the lyre at all. Just point the Chiltang Brone, he pronounced it as if it started with a sneeze, at the ring floor under the lyre. The lyre would sink through the ring floor like quicksand, down and out the other side.
To be trapped in the foamed plastic meteor buffer, the Kazin retorted. Then, correction, the slaver weapon might serve us there.
Quite so. Unfortunately, said Nessus, there is no Chiltang Brone available to us.
She's here. She got through somehow.
Yes.
The magnetohydrodynamicists virtually had to learn a new profession before they could begin to rebuild the Chiltang Brone. It took them several years. The machine had failed in action. It was partly twisted and partly melted. They had to make new parts, recalibrate, use elements they knew would fail, but maybe they'd hold long enough. There was an accident during that time. An osmosis beam, modified by bad calibration, went through the Pioneer. Two crewmen died waist-deep in a metal floor, and 17 others suffered permanent brain damage in addition to other injuries when certain permeable membranes became too permeable. But they got through, the remaining 16. They took the idiots with them. They also took the Chiltang Brone in case the new ring world turned out to be inhospitable. They found savagery. Nothing but savagery. Years later, some of them tried to go back. The Chiltang Brone failed in action, trapping four of them in the rim wall, and that was that. By then, they knew that there would be no new parts available anywhere on the ring world.
I don't understand how barbarism could come so fast, said Louis.
You said the Pioneer ran a 24-year cycle?
24 years in ship's time, Louis.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Yes. To a ship traveling at one ring-world gravity of thrust, stars tend to be 3 to 6 years apart. The actual distances were large. Prill speaks of an abandoned region 200 light-years closer to the mean galactic plane, where three suns clustered within 10 light-years of each other.
200 light-years? Near human space, do you think?
Perhaps in human space. Oxygen atmosphere planets do not in general tend to cluster as closely as they do in the vicinity of Sol. Haller-Loprillolar speaks of long-term terraforming techniques applied to these worlds, many centuries before the building of the ring world. These techniques took too long. They were abandoned halfway by the impatient humans.
That would explain a lot, except... No, never mind.
Primates, Louis? There is evidence enough that your species evolved on Earth, but Earth might have been a convenient base for a terraforming project aimed at worlds in nearby systems. The engineers might have brought pets and servants.
Like apes and monkeys and Neanderthals? Louis made a chopping gesture. It's just speculation. It's not something we need to know.
Granted.
The puppeteer munched a vegetable brick while he talked.
The loop followed by the Pioneer was more than 300 light-years long. There was time for extensive change during a voyage, though such change was rare. Prill's society was a stable one.
Why was she so sure that the whole ring world had gone barbarian? How much exploring did they do?
Very little, but enough. Prill was right. There will be no repairs for the Chiltang Brone. The entire ring world must be barbarous by now.
How?
Prill tried to explain to me what happened here, as one of her crew explained it to her. He had oversimplified, of course. It may be that the process started years before the Pioneer departed on its last circuit.
There had been 10 inhabited worlds. When the Ringworld was finished, all of these had been abandoned, left to go their way without the benefit of man. Consider such a world. The land is covered with cities in all stages of development. Perhaps slums were made obsolete, but somewhere there are still slums, if only preserved for history. Across the land, one can find all the byproducts of living—used containers, broken machines,
damaged books or film tapes or scrolls, anything that cannot be reused or reprocessed at a profit, and many things which could be. The seas have been used as garbage dumps for 100,000 years. Somewhere in that time, they were dumping useless radioactive end products of fission.